You're listening to Two Rights Don't Make a Right,
where we'll give you our opinion,
but you better be ready to hear it.
Oh my God. I love it. I love it. Welcome to the episode of 1,000 Lisas.
Thank you. I feel so bizarre.
I actually can't take myself seriously. It's the muscle tee with as well as you are truly rock and roll, Lisa.
It is giving. It's giving Gene Simmons.
Yeah.
It's giving Jermaine.
Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah. It's giving Jermaine. It's giving when Kel put a wig on in Kath and Kim and had the... And he looked like Jennifer Aniston.
Yes.
That's literally what I look like right now. Like... It's Kurt Coleman, but with black
hair. But emo.
Hair.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Rock on.
Yeah. So, if you can't tell by now, this episode has been inspired by the...
Salt Lake City season finale.
Episode, The Lunch with Eight Leases.
Eight Leases.
So, we thought we'd join in and we'd become 10 Leases.
Yes, absolutely.
So, yeah.
Reservation for Eight Leases.
Love that.
I love that.
So, yeah, I think we're just going to do the whole episode in this week and we're going to look like absolute idiots.
And Benny is absolutely not coping with the long hair.
I'm fritzing out.
Yeah. he's having a few moments.
An actual conniption. I don't know how you girls do this all the time. It actually makes so much sense because when I'm watching, like, sometimes, like, I'll be talking to a girl. And, like, every 10 seconds, it will be, like...
They're touching their hair.
This behind...
Yeah.
Or this behind the shoulder. And then after that, it's down. And then
I'm a big, like, I hate... I rarely wear my hair down because I hate the feeling on my neck. I hate, like, especially when I'm sleeping. I hate it all down my neck. It makes me really hot and uncomfortable. I am a hair behind my ears, chuck it up in a pony. I always tuck it behind my ears, always.
Yeah, well...
Always.
No option. I might chuck it up in a pony soon if I
get fed up. Chuck it in a bun.
Yeah.
Lisa would never...
Oh, no. It's not very Lisa of us.
No. Of you.
Of me, yeah.
Don't drag me into this. I'm cruising.
I feel actual frazzled.
Yeah. Like... Just calm.
Yeah. You've got to drive this episode because I'm feeling anxious.
Put your sunnies back on.
It's a bit scary for the sunnies on, I must admit. Like, it's giving... It's giving Britney Spears in the shopping centre when she put, like, a wig on.
You look rogue. I feel like I quite suit it. Maybe I'll go jet black next time I go to the hairdressers. Megan!
You should take the glasses off first. Show the cameras what you look like with the glasses off. Pin-up girl.
Slay.
It's, yeah.
I'm putting the glasses back
on. Yeah, okay.
It protects me. It's like every time I've had, like, a massive sesh. Remember that sesh you picked me up from at, like, 8 a.m. in the morning?
Yeah.
Because... All of our cabs and Ubers kept cancelling on us. And I was like, oh my God, I fucked up real bad. Me and Brandon were at our friend's house. And I'm like, Benny, and you woke up for the gym.
Yeah.
You woke up to
actually,
go to the gym.
It was just like...
Oh, for go for a walk.
Yeah.
And I was like, are you awake? And you're like, yes, why? I'm like, can you please come pick me up? And you did. You came and picked me and Brandon up. And I was walking out. You said I looked like Esma from Emperor's New Groove.
Yes.
And I was holding my little purse. And I was tiptoeing out of this person's house with sunnies on. Birds are squawking. It's like 8 a.m. I'm fucking not in a good way. Dusty as fuck. And I had been wearing the sunglasses all night inside the house. Oh. It was just like my safety blanket.
Yeah.
I couldn't stop wearing the sunglasses. And one time, one of our friends took the sunnies off my face and went, ooh, scary, and put my sunnies back on. But it was just like I had the sunnies on and I felt safe behind the sunglasses.
So fair. And now you feel safe now.
I've gone
straight
back to that moment.
Vulnerable.
Oh,
still fuck that word.
I love it. So I'm having a great day today.
Okay.
Sure. Obviously we went to the gym in the morning and they had a raffle going at the gym. One of the raffle prizes, a $300 skip bin voucher.
As soon as I saw that, I knew it had your name on it.
Cause you know, I love me a skip bin.
I think have you hired two or three?
Since living out of home, I've had about three skip bins. Yeah. And I've only lived out of home for like 2.5 years.
And you filled it
to the brim
every time.
Yeah, I'm a big chucker outerer.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember whether we've spoken about it on the podcast before, but I go through these madness moments and I'll chuck everything out. And the last skip bin, I chucked out our Nintendo Wii and all the games into the skip bin. And that's, I don't live my life with many regrets. That's the one thing I do regret.
Fucking oath.
I chucked out my Woody. I chucked out my weighted blanket. I chucked out all of the resources that I bought for teaching over the years when I used to be a teacher. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of resources chucked into the skip bin. See ya. Don't want it anymore. It does not give me joy. Chuck it out. Anyway, me and you were joking about betting this skip bin's coming my way. And lo and behold, skip bin, Jess Hunter, D58.
Just in time.
We manifested.
Yeah.
We manifested. And so
at least, how much are they normally?
I would say about $300.
Great.
That's a free skip bin.
Yeah. You can fill your house up with a lot of junk.
Hey, I moved into my house less than 6 months ago, but I'm sure I could still fill it up.
Absolutely.
Chuck the couch in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
The mega couch. Or you'd need a
bigger skip. That's the a huge fucking couch.
It's a massive couch.
For a tiny little home.
For a teeny, tiny little teeny doll house. Anyway, I just want to share that because cheering. Anyway, we actually did end up keeping the voucher. I was cheering that I won it, but we just don't make use of it right now because we're in a new house. We gave it to Lee and Lauren.
Okay.
So, here you go, Lee. Oh, I mean, Brandon made that decision. I was pretty spewing because it was my prize, but whatever.
He gave it away.
He did give it away.
Oh my God.
Anyway, how are you? What's on your radar right now?
Well, you know, I actually have had a good week. I actually had a radio feature this week.
A radio feature.
Yeah. So if you're listening,
please explain.
In Darwin, I'll be on the breakfast show. So
that's rogue.
Yeah. But I don't know if I've actually spoken about this on the pod before, but I have been mistaken, but a lot of people think that I look like that tennis player.
Tanasi Kokkinakis. Yes, you do.
Again?
You got mistaken at the... Well, not mistaken, sorry. Mistaken's the wrong word. Because no one says, oh my God, it's Tanasi Kokkinakis.
Well, one time that did happen to me not too long ago.
Interesting.
But yeah, at the cafe, they thought I was related. Like,
it's yeah, like, oh, they were like, is there any relation between you guys? And we were like, I get that all the time.
Yeah. But there was a time when I went to go collect my takeaway at the Plaza. And it was after, like, I just had a fresh haircut. Mm. I had a fresh layer of glowing. Tan on. I was glowing.
Yeah,
I had, like longer socks with, like, shoes. So I looked like...
holding a tennis racket. Yeah. Kokkinakis on your shirt. and somehow people
thought it was me. But, yeah, I was walking and these... I could tell they were very straight men were walking in front of me. And one guy looked at me and did a triple take. Not one, not two, three. three takes. And he looked at me as if he knew me. And I was like, there's no fucking way I know who this
about
bloke
to get
is.
Bashed.
Yeah, I'm like, great.
Great.
Let me take my grilled and leave, please.
Please leave me alone.
And as he did the third take, I was like getting quite close to him, but I was looking down because I was a little bit scared and I didn't know why he was staring at me. Again, I thought...
You think everyone's staring at you.
Yeah, I was like, is this my schizophrenia? but
Jess, I swear the eyeballs are on me. Everyone's staring at me.
Because I feel like everyone stares at me all the time and I'm like, oh, I'm just schizophrenic.
Yeah.
But... no, this guy, as I walked past, he said to his mate, he whispered, he was like, that's Kokkinakis. And I was like, no fucking way he just said that. And I
your head's just
went from 1 to 2.5x speed and fucking fanged it out of there. Because this guy was like, what?
I need to ask for a photo.
Yeah. And I was like, no, I can't be...
No photos.
No photos. No, not right now.
Sorry, I'm busy. I need to get to the tennis court.
I'm late.
I've got practice.
This is my pre-fuel meal.
Let me get my grill and go, please. No photos.
Yeah,
no autographs tonight.
Yeah. 40 love. Whatever it is that they say. I had explained that story to Davo, who's in Darwin, and she's on the radio there. And she actually sent me a snap the night before saying, like, you two look identical. So she was like, actually, let's do a quick seggy. So
Did you listen to it?
Not yet. No, I've got it.
Oh, I'd love to listen to that after
We'll listen to it after. Yeah.
Love that for you. Superstar.
Yeah. So look out. Superstar. I'm a big, big hot commodity in the NT. 2025
is looking up for
you. Yeah. Yeah. Cock and Arcus impersonator. Hire me for all of your events.
Hire me for your children's birthdays.
Tennis racket not included.
Please, BYO tennis racket.
Yeah. Yeah. That needs to be supplied, please.
Oh my God. We have had a couple of almost bingo card updates.
We have.
First one. Justin Baldoni is officially suing Blake Lively for $400 million. Girl.
It's not looking good, sweetie. It's not looking good for Blake.
Oh my God, my heart. But anyway, that's a quarter way through one of mine. We just need Netflix to buy it or try to buy it. And we just need him to win.
Great. I have seen a lot of heat on Real Housewives of Melbourne coming back.
Yes.
On TikTok, especially. So that TikToker, Gunkle Diaries.
Yeah.
Oh,
I love him.
He's funny. He has posted about it. Lydia has responded. Jackie has responded. They've responded to some of my reels.
The stars are aligning.
Yeah. So, look, I feel like we've got a momentum there with some sort of announcement. I don't know if they'll come back, but I feel like we'll get something.
Agreed.
And I feel like that's...
And thirdly, I'm absolutely fucking spewing because this was on my extras list and I thought it was on my bingo card. Mm-hmm. And do you know what's annoying about this one? Is it was the first item I thought of to put on my bingo card. It was number one on my list. And when I was reviewing, because I had like 12 in the end, I had to cut some. That was the first one I cut and put on the extras. And it was that Jen Shaw's prison sentence is reduced. And literally mere days ago, we got the news, the intel, that her prison sentence has been reduced for release date.
Yep.
And I was like, fuck!
So is that...
It's official.
Yeah, and you didn't put it on your...
I put it on the extras, not the bingo card. Because I went straight into Canva to cross it out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where is it?
I also saw some goss this week that apparently Bose is already quitting Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, which would be
a
damn shame. Why? Surprise you? I feel like she's too intelligent to be...
Yeah, I don't think she's... She doesn't really, like... I love her. I love her.
I think she's...
But I just don't think she's, like, a Real Housewives girl. Like, I think she's just above it.
I agree. Yeah. She's, I think, especially with how this...
All the drama going down. She's like, what the fuck is going on right now?
And it's like tit for tat shit drama. Anyway,
she's over it.
Also very sad. Her house got burnt down in the LA fires.
Well, that is very sad.
Yeah. I want to give a quick update on our rapid fires that we posted last week because they are actually very different answers to what we said.
Okay.
So I'm going to start us off with... Whose side are you on after the most recent episode? I mean, I wasn't surprised about this. 21% said Kyle, 79% Dorit.
Slay for me.
I knew that was coming.
Yep.
If Real Housewives of Melbourne was rebooted, you can only bring one back. We said Lydia.
Yeah.
Everyone said Gina.
Who's everyone?
80% for Gina, 20% for Lydia.
You and I would have been the Lydia vote.
Yep. One has to be chopped from next season. Who? We said Erica Jane.
Yep.
Everyone wants Kyle to kick the bucket. 70% said for Kyle not to come back.
Right.
30% was for Erica not to come back. I think they need to understand that you ditched.
I think they're all wrong. I think they actually need to stop having an opinion.
Hold on. Are you listening?
Are you watching the same show we're watching?
So, look, I find it interesting that there's a lot more Kyle haters out there than what I thought.
Yeah, I love that.
Do you love the Kyle hate train?
No, I just love it.
Okay.
Cool. I'm tapping into my Lisa.
Oh, sure. Love it. Who had a better first season, Monica or Bronwyn? Who did we say? I think we said Bronwyn.
You said Bronwyn. I said Monica.
Bronwyn won, but that was a very close tie. Bronwyn with 53% to say that she had a better first season.
47
to Monica saying that she had the best first season.
Right.
Okay, let's get into this week's episode.
Yes,
so we actually just watched Beverly Hills together.
We did because I leave everything to the last minute.
Yeah.
As per usual, I watched Soul Lake this morning and then came over here and said, by the way, I've not watched Beverly Hills.
Like, well, let's whack it on. So we need to watch it. I don't have any notes.
I did try to get around it by saying, why don't we do a Salt Lake City Bonanza episode?
Yeah, no. No, wrong.
So anyway.
But I thought it was funny because every time we went to go say something, I was like,
That was the first time we've actually watched, I think, Housewives in the same room together. And I kept trying to turn to you to discuss it. And you're like,
that's enough. So overall thoughts, what did you think?
Yeah.
Again, I think we did the mistake of watching Salt Lake first.
Yeah.
And then followed by Beverly Hills. It's so weird to see that Kyle is befriending Sutton and Garcelle over the other girls. Mm. These two do not like her.
Yeah.
And I feel like Kyle, to me right now, feels very secluded. Like, she doesn't really have anyone on her team.
She's trying really, really hard to take those people and keep them, close to her. Mm. Because you're right, she hasn't got anyone on her team, but she's trying to, stay in the shadows, but bring those people in. And I will say, I do feel a little bit, not sorry, but I feel a little bit for Erica at the moment, because I feel like out of this whole cast, she's the only other OG that's watching this stuff go down between Kyle and Doree. And she's actually being a really good friend to both of them.
Mm-hmm.
She's supporting them both. She's calling them both out. When she walked Doree out, especially, and you just saw it in Erica's face, she said, I've never seen them both behave like this. Mm. I've never seen them act like this before. And you could just see, what the fuck do I do? These are some of my most treasured friends, and what is going on right now?
I really think that her therapy is paying off, though.
This is the best she's ever looked, the best she's ever behaved. She's just got it all
together. She's peaceful. Together. She's building up now what she 100%. Has lost. So,
my God.
I am actually quite dialed into her.
Me too.
At the moment. I'm enjoying her taking a back seat from the drama and just supporting.
And she is so cool, calm and collected. Yeah. And she's, able to articulate herself so well. And
be calm.
Yeah. And she's being able to befriend both of these women and support them both. And no one's saying, you're supporting her over me and blah, blah, blah. She's doing it in such a genuine way. I actually love her. This is her best season yet in terms of her personal growth.
Yeah. I know I said last episode I'm on Kyle's side. I'm not going to say I've switched, but this episode really made her look like an absolute fool.
She's being a dick.
I hate it when people say, when I get upset, I black out. That's a cop out excuse.
That is a cop out. Even people saying that when they're drunk or blacked out.
Yeah.
I have blacked out that many fucking times before and you need to be accountable for your actions when you black out.
Yeah, exactly. And she wasn't even drunk anymore. Yeah, so
exactly.
I
Who blacks out from rage?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever been that angry in my entire life.
That's like punching in a wall.
Yeah, that is terrifying. Again, I think back to Kyle and PK texting.
Mm-hmm.
I know we spoke about this last week and how you didn't think it was weird and yada, yada, yada. I think it makes sense if Kyle and Mo were still together and her and PK were still friends, because Mo and PK are friends, and it was it just felt weird when Kyle said to Mo, Dorit doesn't want us to be friends, and Mo said, well, that's stupid, but I'm like, but what is this weird dynamic going on right now between Mo, PK and Kyle, all three of them? And I'm like, fair enough, if her and Mo were still married, she said that. And he'd be like, oh, that's ridiculous because he's our friend.
Mm.
But really, her and Mo aren't even together anymore. And PK and Mo are fucking going off doing whatever. And I'm like, well, there's no real account of, there's nothing to tie you to this man.
I think, from what we saw as well, Kyle and Mo are still quite connected.
Exactly.
So I think maybe that is why, Dorit and PK are acting as if they're separated. Mm. So is Kyle and Mo to a point, but they are talking, they're FaceTiming, they're talking.
Garcelle made a good point in that when she said when people split, they usually go their separate ways and then figure it out, do their own thing, and then sometimes come back together. They haven't at all. And how messy is that?
I just say, though, I feel like that adds to my original thought that they haven't really split up.
Yeah, agreed. And I had moments of that thought as well when I was watching this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think kept maybe that
you like,
yeah, where are you going with this? I think that's why she might have her blinkers on a little bit, because they're not as separated as what she's playing them out to be.
Possibly.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep, I do know what you mean.
I will say, though, when those texts came out, I was like, okay, this is not looking
more good. More than memes and jokes.
Yeah, yeah. And also saying, I won't repeat anything that you say.
That we've spoken about.
That's not kind good. Of breaching not good. The girl code.
Yeah, she's not. Kyle was not a girl's girl, and I'll fucking die on that hill.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to say that she's a girl's girl either. I do think, you know, if Dorit was to be like, oh, stop texting him, she would stop texting him.
Yeah, but anyone would.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Also, I think Dorit made a really good point of saying if it was on the other foot, Kyle would also be really pissed.
Fucking oath, yeah.
I agree with that. And Kyle would probably go even more berserk. So yeah. I get what she's saying. The text messages aren't just memes.
Yeah.
And GIFs or emojis, whatever she's saying. It looks like it's a little bit deeper than that. I don't believe there's like a relationship.
Oh no, I don't think it's a relationship. I don't think it's an affair, but it's it is deeper than Kyle was making it out to be.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Absolutely. Bit freaked out, and I feel bad saying this. I hope it's not offensive, but I'm a bit freaked out about Bo's wanting to birth a child at 47 years old.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably not what I would want to be doing at 47. And I would kind of understand if she had never had kids, but she's got kids.
Well, he's never had kids.
Right.
But he's 48. But 47 and 48 to have a newborn is old as fuck.
Life's almost done.
Literally.
Well, halfway done.
And it surprised me that she can even still have kids because when you hit 35, every single year after that, your fertility goes fucking plummeting.
Mm.
So it's actually wild. I mean, she doesn't know if she can or not. I guess that's why she had her fucking surgery.
Kyle has visited Bo's and she pulls out the screenshot from years ago.
Yes, yes. And Mo. My skin crawled.
I loved it.
The kiss on the shoulder. Oh my God. I forgot how bad that was.
Yeah.
That was just... And I remember all those rumors speculating. I didn't think there was anything to it. Like, I never thought that.
The rumors are still going around.
Yeah, but the kiss on his shoulder, I was just like,
that was, was a very intimate moment.
Ick. The gals took Erica to Chuck E. Cheese, which I thought was really cute.
Cute, but I hate that Sutton organized it.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I hate Sutton so fucking much.
I thought it was so rich coming from her. She was saying that, you know, let's show her what we didn't show her years ago, which is completely rich
she was the one
that tore her to the ground.
Literally. Like, that was the most scariest I've ever seen Erica react in an argument when she was like, or what?
Yeah.
Really enunciated her tea.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
I thought...
Yeah, dog as fuck. Like, I didn't even think about that, actually.
Come on.
Yeah. But also, I did, but I... Sorry, you go.
I'm over the fake surprising.
Oh.
This is the second time we've done it this season. Like, you are not convincing me that you have a camera crew while Erica is wiping down her toaster.
Yeah.
And acting surprised when people rock up at her door.
Literally.
Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not.
Like, let's not pretend.
Let's just be realistic
it's
here.
It's a TV show.
Yeah.
Also, Sutton saying that she's so proud of Erica and that what she's done is remarkable about building herself up. I'm sorry, you were the most terrible person to her years ago.
Yep, rumors out the wazoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had enough of her. She's going to be the one that burns Beverly Hills to the ground, not in a good way.
Agreed.
The only two things that I've got to add to that is I loved Erica's new confessional look.
Yes.
The high bun.
She looked so good. Like I said, best she's ever looked.
I don't like the other one with the pink in her hair, though.
Oh, yeah. I don't love that.
Also, what is with all these housewives having twinks as their house managers? Let me tell you, just wait until Melbourne's back because you'll be seeing me on
Binge. Yeah, you need to hit up Lydia.
Yeah, you'll see me in the background of Gina's
literally
kitchen.
Literally. I'll be one of them. Remember that Andrea had like 7 nannies?
Oh, yeah.
And like the list for all of them?
Yeah. I wonder what your list would look like.
Oh, hectic. Absolutely hectic. And if you just follow this list, when you're done with that, you've got to go to the to-do
Andrea,
list.
The one list is not enough lists.
No. Andrea, can you split this into 5 lists? One for picking the child up, one for cooking, one for cleaning.
Hectic. Oh, yeah. So
That's literally all I really took out from that episode. I think next episode looks good. It obviously kicks off between Kyle and Dorit a bit more. Salt Lake City, season finale.
Wowee.
What a season finale.
I
watched majority of the episode behind my hands like this because it was the most chaotic episode I've ever watched of Housewives in my entire life, I think. If not my favorite, it's very close to the Amsterdam episode.
Mm-hmm.
though it's, but it's like neck and neck. It was one of my all-time favorite episodes of any reality show I've ever watched. I fucking loved it.
Interesting. See, yeah. I loved it, but I do have some notes.
Interesting. Some bones to pick.
Some bones to pick. Righty-o. Not bones, but I think I maybe tore it to pieces a little bit. There's just some of it that, I mean, we'll get to it when we get okay. to the actual dinner party, but.
I do need to say, I know that when they film the cutscenes, they aren't in their actual homes. Like, I know that. Mm-hmm. Just like, obviously, when you're watching movies like Harry Potter, you know the magic's not real. But it's when you see the behind the scenes and you see the actual green screen behind yeah. them and they're sitting in a studio and there's a fucking like 2 meter by 1 meter screen. Yeah. I was like, no, like I know I've seen it before.
And do you know that Beverly Hills is the only one that doesn't do that?
Are they in their actual homes?
Their actual homes. Really? They're the only cast that do it in their real homes.
Because that devastated me. It just takes the magic of Housewives away, I think, when yeah. you see that and you see the behind the scenes footage, yeah. you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
This is actually a reality show.
Yeah.
None of this is real.
No.
Fuck my life.
I thought it was so funny when you see Heather and she's got this top on, but then she's got the camo leggings on.
Yes. She is literally like a cashed up bogan. Speaking of Heather, when we go to the 8 leases, mm-hmm. and she obviously, it's her idea. Oh, I think it's a fucking hilarious idea. I think that is so funny. But when she puts her wig on and she's the first one walking out to the lobby and her hair is hanging out the back of her wig.
So many of them had that. Like,
yeah, Brittany had it. Yeah. Oh my God. But Heather's made me laugh so much. Like, it's just that bleach blonde, dead straight hair sticking out the back of her black wig. So funny. So funny.
I, just before we go any further, the start where Meredith had her eye mask on.
Scratched cornea.
That eye mask looks like something that you would have bought on sale at Peter Alexander in 100%. A manic episode.
100%. Yeah. Remember that eye mask that I bought that was the frog eyes? And yes. you could open and close the eyelids?
That went in the last skip.
No, Randy chewed it and went in the bin. He hated it.
Didn't even make it to the skip.
Who
do you think was the best dressed Lisa?
Oh, that's a good question.
Mm.
I think Whitney kind of slayed it.
Yeah.
I actually do. I think she suited the wig.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought her outfit was nice as well.
The 3-year-old Tom Ford pants.
Yeah. Yeah, not getting away from that one.
I didn't. So Whitney is just coming for blood.
Yeah.
Like, she made a point of the tags.
Yes.
Like, wanted to have all the tags out and Lisa was like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, I liked everything about the tags. And she was like, oh, I'm addressing the rumors that you apparently buy all of your clothes and then return them after wearing them. Like, do you want to reconcile yeah, at all? Yeah,
she was hectic this episode. But one of my favorite lines from this episode, from Lisa to Whitney, where she said, I'm going to sue the fuck out of you and take your fucking new house.
Crickets. She was terrified.
Oh, my God.
My other one was, your gut is off. It's leaking. Go take a probiotic.
There were some iconic quotes from this episode. Absolutely iconic. Again, Brittany, to me, she's like a toddler. She's like a toddler that... Like, you know when toddlers crack a tantrum and then within 2 seconds they're fine again mm-hmm. and they're like, nothing ever happened. When she storms and runs off from the table and like 4 girls go after her to like talk about her, 4 girls come after her and then suddenly her tears go and she goes, okay, thank you so much. I feel so much better. Thank you. And yeah. she's like, ding, like, what the fuck?
She loves the attention. And she's, I think, from, have you seen the amount of TikToks and reels she's been making? Like,
singing in the airport. Apparently they called a welfare check on her because of that.
Well, she needs it.
Yeah.
She needs more than a welfare
check.
But
then she would look at people and go, why are you laughing? Why do you think it's weird? She was having a full Britney Spears moment. I'm like,
the next Kim Richards. Yeah.
Chuck it on the bingo card.
Yeah. Look out. That's a bonus point.
The horses.
Oh.
Mary's horse going around.
God. Or even Meredith's. And she was like, what's going on?
And she goes, maybe all of the horses reflect our personalities.
Do you think?
She's such a fucking airhead.
So, and then Mary saying, don't get on a horse if you can't hear.
What's that about? I didn't know you can't get on a horse if you have hearing impairment.
I think she's just making that up.
But she was so serious about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, just serious about a lot of things. And
you?
rude.
That was very rude. What she said. That was very rude. I actually have a hot take on Mary.
Okay.
And it's a bit of a... I wrote this halfway through the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to take it back by the end, but I thought, no, I don't take it back.
Okay.
For me, personally, Mary is, out of all the housewives, the one that I would want to be friends with the least.
Mm-hmm.
I, first of all, with the Angie stuff, I don't, this is when I wrote it, so I kind of changed my mind on this a little bit by the end. I don't understand why she got so worked up about the Angie stuff. I feel like Mary comes at things in a very childish way, and if you were a good friend of hers, she'd be a really high maintenance friend. You'd always be on eggshells. You'd always be wondering if you're going to say the wrong thing. Your best friend's one day, your enemies are next. She hates you the next day. Like, it's too up and down, and it's too, what's that word? What's that word I'm looking for when it's like crackheads are like,
crackheads.
You can't tell what they're going to do.
Unpredictable.
Next. Unpredictable.
Yeah. Crackheads are like.
You got there. You got it.
There could be a lot of things. They could do a lot.
Unpredictable. She's very unpredictable. Yeah. And I hate that in a friend. Like, I hate that feeling of like, am I saying the wrong thing? Oh my God, are they going to be annoyed at me? And it's like a fight or flight thing. It's like a trauma response.
Yeah. Trauma response.
However, I did semi-change my tune on that. That is because when they were having... I'm skipping a little bit ahead here, but when they had the dinner session, and they had the fucking trauma counseling session when Mary started talking about her abandonment issues when she was a child, because her dad said he never liked her and her mum abandoned her and blah, blah, blah. We love a self-aware queen. She's very self-aware that she's got abandonment issues and that stemmed from that particular moment in her childhood and going up. Because it does. Like, if you did have abandonment stuff in your childhood, of course that fucking rocks you as an adult. I love that she's aware of that and that she brought up and said, that is why then I feel abandonment or that feeling of abandonment so much deeper and quicker than others, because that's what she's kind of grown up on. She's got that trauma response from that abandonment. And so when she felt like Angie was abandoning her for running after Brittany, she had that huge response to say, fuck you. And I love that she's aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
However, I still wouldn't want to be friends with her. But I like how they made up, and obviously Mary shared that side of her and whatnot. She's self-aware of that. The hand holding on Whitney's lap. Oh. Over Whitney's lap. Whitney's just sitting there like...
I actually felt really sad for Angie in that situation.
I did too.
Because I genuinely do not think Angie did anything wrong.
No, she didn't.
Or needed to apologize.
She did
because
not.
Really she was just doing what any girl would do at a dinner, at a table where someone feels like they're getting ganged up on. You're a cast member. You would want someone to do that after... If that was you.
And it's not like Angie, it's not like Mary and Brittany have major beef. No. Mary just doesn't like her.
No.
She thinks she's annoying.
And I think it was really terrible for Mary. And yes, I know you raise a good point about like acknowledging it and stuff, but
like
it's so wrong.
It's not an excuse. I would have been more annoyed if Mary wasn't aware of what, if her just going, no, fuck her, like, blah, 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 and not aware of why she's reacting that way. I like that she's aware of that. It doesn't make it an excuse and it doesn't make it anything better. I still think it's a horrible way to treat your friends, but I would be more angry if she wasn't aware of any of that.
Yeah.
She was just whatever.
I think she should have kind of leaned into a bigger apology to Angie after everything that she said. But Angie handled it so well.
Yeah.
And they got to a good place in the end anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Agreed.
One thing that I liked as well, Meredith and Angie looked like they were in a positive space as well, which was great.
That was a nice little ending. I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it was shady or not of Whitney reaching out to Monica?
Now, I think Whitney annoyed me this season because I don't think she was really smart enough with... She obviously wanted to come for Lisa in a way.
Mm.
I don't think she really had her ducks in a row and did it the right way. This podcaster guy is not a credible source.
No.
It backfired on her.
He's backpedaling hard. He does not want to be involved in this.
No. I don't, and I think she should have just kind of left it there, not reach out to Monica.
Yeah.
I think it was too soon.
I don't necessarily think it was shady. Like, I don't, you know, they obviously thought it was a huge, how dare you,
I would say it's a desperate attempt to get anything she could on Lisa.
It is. I agree.
That's what I would say.
But now they're all hitting panic mode because, especially Heather, I feel like it's hitting panic mode because I feel like she has also fed Radley Von Teese, and Whitney is about to have proof of that shit. And suddenly Heather's like, what the, like, hold on. Like, and they're all, they've all done it. And do you know what it reminds me of? And I know you haven't seen Gossip Girl, but it reminds me of Gossip Girl when Gossip Girl leaks who sent in what tip and releases it. And everyone is like, realizes that all of these horrible rumors that Gossip Girl posts about them, they've all spread these own rumors on each other. And they've all contributed to this fucking pool of rumor spiel. And they're all like, they all fed the source basically, but they all were getting hurt and they're all in the firing line for it. And it kind of reminds me of that. I feel like they've all fed Radley Von Teese, and now Whitney's reached out to her and said, give me the proof. Also, Heather is clinging onto the receipts proof timeline.
Yeah.
As soon as you said it, I was like, girl, give that up. They
all love to cling onto. It's like Dorit's glass.
Yeah. They cling onto something.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know. I don't think it was necessarily too, like, I don't think it was hell shady. Of course, it was going to ruffle their feathers, but I think they're extra ruffled because Whitney could potentially have things because Monica doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
No, she'll go, here you go. Yeah. Here's a proof.
Yeah.
Here's a screenshot.
She's no longer part of that cast. She's not she'll there. Be part she of the reboot in 5 years.
Yeah. She will love to give that proof.
Yeah. I don't know if they've necessarily fed information, but no. I think they would be, you know, they might react to a story or a message that they thought was maybe funny. They've had some sort of communication with the account.
Yeah, for sure.
That is might put them in hot water.
Yep.
How lame with the finger pointing.
Oh, the double point at Lisa though, that made me piss myself.
My skin was crawling.
I could not. Oh. I actually thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
I loved it because she was pointing, and then Lisa's like, get that fucking finger out of my face, and she double points her fingers. I thought it was gold. Loved it. I think the whole game of we are going to take our phones out and find the worst thing we've ever said about someone at this table and make them read it out is a rogue choice.
This is where, so first of all, Heather gives her huge hero speech.
Yeah.
Which, you know, lovely, cool, no worries. When she then suggests this idea, I was like, hold on. I feel like this part is a little bit produced.
Yeah.
I don't believe that they all were scrolling through their phones trying to look for a message. I feel like it was kind of a little bit, especially when I heard Mary's.
Oh, Mary said Heather. And then it had a spiel behind it. It wasn't a text message.
That to me, so as soon as I heard that, I looked at Jack and I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
Like, this is, she's just typed this.
Yeah.
Because it does not end. Like, how did she end it with, oh, but it's because I'm so proud of you. Blah, 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 blah. You literally called her inbred.
Yeah.
I do not believe that is the worst thing. But the other ones were
written in such a text message form. Angie's? But Mary started with, oh, we'll get to that.
But Mary's, I found that was a bad one to start off with because I feel like that was just to cover her ass.
Agreed. It reminded me of a time, I'm not going to bring up another sesh right now, but it reminded me of a time that I was having another sesh and it was like 2 a.m. and it was a really deep sesh. It was like, as in like philosophical deep.
Oh no, very DMing,
but it was good because there was only 5 of us and we were all 5 of us like DMing and everyone had their like moment to talk about their feelings. It was rogue. It was a bit weird.
Okay.
But anyway, we all went around the circle with there was tears, like, you know, people crying.
I immediately, as soon as the tears break out, I gotta go.
Anyway, it was very deep. And we're all like, how good is this? Like, we're just getting so deep. But it was in such, it was like fucking, you know, what's the meaning of life kind of conversations.
Oh, I hate anyway, that.
Anyway, Alex says, yeah, I love this. He goes, I've got an idea. Why don't we all, while we're feeling so deep, go around the circle and say one thing each that we don't like about each other? And I went, no. And he goes, like, Jess, like, and I'm like, stop right there. Stop. Please stop. And he's like, what? I'm like, we're not doing that. We are not doing that right now. Please that's not a good idea.
Brand is like that. Going to kill the mood. He's probably the producer behind this
episode. But I was like, please no. No, we're not going to do that. Oh, why don't we say things we love about each other? But he's like, no, like we should just voice it now and then, you know. And I'm like,
nah, I think that's better left unsaid.
Yep, we're not going to do that. Anyway, that just reminded me of that. I was like, oh my God, that some people genuinely do think that makes things better. Not that we were fighting.
No.
That would have caused some fights.
In Dorinda's wise words, say it, forget it. Write it, regret it.
Well, that's what these there girls, had. They wrote it and they regret it.
Yeah.
So I kind of do like the strategy a little bit in this case, only in this case, because for me, it truly does show how hurtful words are.
Mm-hmm.
And that obviously they all use very vicious, hurtful words against each other. And making people read it out, you'd kind of have a big reality check to go, I'm a fucking bitch.
And
hey,
hearing those that words person, come out is a lot.
And that
lot,
person read them? Yeah. Oh my God, mortifying. Imagine if anyone went through our messages.
Jail.
I literally wrote jail.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd move countries. I would genuinely pass out.
Yeah. It's... I would be speechless. The cameras,
okay, so when I was watching them, though, I was kind of live reacting to the messages as I was going.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Bronwyn's about Britney was pretty bad.
That was
I was kind of reading that, like, oh my God. Harsh. And Britney was reading it out. She could barely even read the words.
Yeah.
And then you could just see she was like... So angry.
And even
about
Bronwyn
it.
Knew, she was like, look, that's very bad.
She's like, but we're going to do a clean slate. She's like, okay, yep, I forgive you.
Brittany will forget about that tomorrow.
Brittany forgot about that as soon as the next person started talking. I said, worst one yet. But then Angie's text came out about Bronwyn.
And do you know what makes it even worse? She was going through her phone and we get a cutscene of her and she's like laughing about how bad hers is going to be.
Yes.
And boy, was she right.
I was literally watching that one like this. I couldn't look at Bronwyn. I could not look her in the eye.
No.
And when she started crying and Angie goes, oh, she's crying already.
For good reason. Because one thing I will say about Angie, she can read a bitch.
She said the most hectic one foot in the grave and one foot on a banana peel. I like her business plan. Oh, girl. And she was sitting there.
A drag queen.
Make it stop. My next favorite one after that was Heather's. Whitney is a lowlife, thirsty piece of shit, is how it opened.
They're meant to be cousins.
Heather, girl, what the fuck?
That is family.
What the fuck? Imagine that's the first opening line. Who are you texting that to?
Literally.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
That's when I started to think, okay, maybe this is a little bit more real. But yes. I want to know who they're going to.
Yeah. They'd be texting each other, surely.
Either each other or their husbands.
Yeah.
I don't think
Angie's,
it would
be... I feel like, would be her husband.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, you're right. The husband is a good one. I mean, some of the shit I fucking say to Brandon.
Yeah. Or me.
Jail. Yo. Not going to speak about that. And then, of course, Whitney to Lisa. And... discussing the if we were going to have a three-way or something, we'd get this person because they've made out with Lisa while jerking off John.
That is atrocious.
And of course Lisa can't accept the game. She thinks it's just the most horrendous thing anyone's ever said, and she's the only one.
I will say, Whitney, I probably wouldn't have chosen that.
No.
I know we're going for the worst thing in your phone. Be a little bit more strategic than that, girl. Like,
Yeah, but then when Lisa tries to get Angie in and then says something about how Sean does circle jerks, I don't know what that is, but I'm assuming men will just sit in a circle and jerk
the same
each
thing.
Other
I
off.
I had no idea what it was.
New porn category. Let's search.
Apparently, it is when just men stand in a circle
and just jerk each other off.
I don't know if it's jerking each other off or they all jerk off. It might be a combination of both.
A work phone. I won't do it on the work phone.
No. And this doesn't...
It's Jack's work phone.
Yeah, so let's... Sorry, Jack. Yeah, let's... Yeah, not blocked. Oh, fired.
we'll Jack, find why out. Is
maybe,
HR calling me?
Maybe we'll do a poll.
Who knows what circle jerking is?
Circle jerking.
What did you guys interpret circle jerking to be? Anyway, that was hectic. That was a very hectic. And then Lisa, I don't think, understood the repercussions of her trying to involve Angie in that for no reason whatsoever. The producers literally holding the fucking Greek fury back in Angie. Hectic.
She, I feel like, had no right to say that about Angie. No. Because Angie was not involved in that whatsoever.
She wasn't.
And they were good. Like, they didn't have any reason. Lisa's been so wrong for that this season.
I know. Like, she has been.
Yeah.
And you know what? As much as I know Whitney pisses you off and whatnot, but I didn't feel sorry for her, but I did find it a bit unfair for Whitney. I know, yes, she said something really, really hectic, but all of the messages were really, really hectic. Like, some of them had some fucking horrendous, vile words in there.
Yeah.
And I do find it a bit unfair that now Whitney's enemy number one and all of the girls are saying, nah, like, Meredith, nah, this is fucked. There's nothing okay about this. I'm like, girl, like, everyone had horrible messages. Why is Whitney the only one that's now on the fucking griller?
Yeah.
And everyone else got forgiven?
I think
that's a bit shit.
One, Whitney could have been a little bit more strategic about what she said. Two, I knew Meredith was going to go in on her for that anyway.
Like, she needed an excuse.
Yeah. One thing that I'm really annoyed about, though, we didn't hear Meredith's text message.
We didn't.
And that's so when they all stormed off, Meredith then stormed off. Yeah. And Heather was like, and no, the game's you over. Need to say, I'm not doing this. I want to know what Meredith's text message was.
She's so shady, isn't she?
She will slither out of any of that.
Yeah.
Reunion looks good.
Yeah, so excited. Horrendous outfits, though.
I think there was only two.
Two. It was Angie and Bronwyn.
Correct.
The rest of them look like Year 12 formal.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough of that.
So, ending this season off, I know we've still got the reunion to go.
Mm.
However, I want to know from what we've seen of the actual season, your top three, your best on field housewives. Okay,
the Bogs.
For Salt Lake City.
This season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And rank them three, like two, one. One being the best, obviously.
I'm going to give Mary number three.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mary had a fantastic comeback season. Mm. I think she opened up. She showed a vulnerable side. She got involved. She was funny. She had iconic moments.
Yeah.
It was probably the most involved she's been in Real Housewives in general. I feel like she was more in this season than even the first season. Mm. So I'm going to give her my number three.
Yeah.
Who's your number three?
My number three is Bronwyn.
Okay.
She was going to be higher, but she got real messy at the end. So I feel like that's why I kind of popped her there. Yep. But nonetheless, she came out, in your words, like a bull out of a gate.
When have I ever used those words?
You said that twice in one episode not long ago.
Have I?
Yes. Like a raging bull out of a gate. Or a bull out of a gate. Yeah.
That one, please.
So, anyway. I think she came out really strong. She rattled them all. She was a great addition. Found her really interesting. She got messy at the end and kind of severed her ties with all of them. So, I don't know how she's going to come back from that. Yep. But
she'll come back with her divorce story. Yep. And
they usually come back stronger on their second season anyway. So, looking forward to that. Great addition. Yep. Loved her.
My number two is Bronwyn. Same reason.
So, can I just say, my number two is Mary.
Was it? Yes. I wonder if our number one will be the same.
I reckon it will be.
The reasons for Bronwyn being my number two is because, same thing as you, she kicked the door down on this season, but she got very messy by the end.
Mm-hmm.
She would have been my number one if she didn't
spiral
the way she Flip-flop. Did. But she did. She kicked the door down on episode one and had a great debut. And I'm looking forward to seeing her in season six.
Yeah.
Yep.
I want to say I put Mary at two. Because I agree with you, she actually just showed a side of herself that we've never seen before.
Yeah.
She had some hilarious moments. She did. And parts where I wasn't actually like, oh my God, I'm sick of her. Like last season when she was a friend of.
Yeah.
She got very vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Had funny moments, iconic moments, and just works better as a full-time castmate.
Agreed.
I think we're going to say the same person.
Should we say it in 3, 2, 1? 3, 2, 1, Angie. Yes! Yeah. Yep.
Angie, I feel like when she had her really vulnerable moments and sad moments, like about her mom with her dad. Like, yeah. that was all very engaging and yeah. connecting.
She's I grew to love her. I mean, I always loved her, but I really grew to love her yeah. this season.
And she worked so hard for a snowflake. She, yeah. the scroll and on now, the first
And
look episode, at her.
She's fucking front and center.
Yeah.
Like, wow. And she's sitting next to Andy at the reunion.
The scroll on the first episode.
Yep.
The throwing the glass. No, yeah. that was the like standing up and kicking the chair down.
The
like,
high body count hair.
High body count hair getting kicked out like yep. of the party. Like she just.
And the friendship she struck up with Mary.
It was
there
just.
There were so many. She, yeah.
she was yeah. she's carried this season.
She did.
I love her so much.
She was
much.
Very
she's
special.
Perfect.
I do want to give Brittany just a quick special mention. She's a fucking idiot, but yeah. she was hilarious yeah. to watch. She's enjoyed watching her, not for Best on Ground, not to stay on Housewives Forever, but I enjoy the manic people that I'm so infatuated by because I'm like, how are you like this? And I did think she had some quite funny, memorable moments this season.
I enjoy her as a friend of.
Yeah, me too.
I don't want her any more than that.
Okay, so I have got a question for you and okay. it's the one I gave you a little bit of homework for.
Yes, okay.
Only because going along the lines of your wanting, obviously, Melbourne to reboot.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Melbourne, out of all of the franchises, has my favourite insults because they're so Aussie and bogan.
Yeah.
And they make it, I don't know, they're just so relatable with their insults. And I thought it would be fun to share some of our favourite or top Real Housewives of Melbourne insults from over all of the seasons.
Great. I actually have a mix from all different castmates too.
Me
they're
too.
Not all the same people. So
me too.
I wonder if we've done the same. I really hope that we haven't.
One, two, three. I've got seven.
Got five.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to start
you
because I've got
off.
More. My first one is Janet. You dumb fat bitch.
That was my number one.
Was it?
Yeah. That was, I don't think I.
You dumb fat bitch.
At the reunion.
To Lydia?
Yeah. That
of course.
Was feral.
Yeah.
That was so bad.
Yeah. You dumb fat bitch is such a funny thing to be, to call someone, to call, be called. Oh my God.
Funny, but absolutely. I would be in tears.
Yeah. Literally.
That was, I think, one of the most hectic insults
yep.
that has gone around.
Yep, love
it. I'm going to go another iconic one from season one reunion from Gina. You're an insignificant ass hair.
Yes. Yeah, I loved that one. And the ass hair. Yeah, I
iconic.
Love it.
Iconic.
Absolutely iconic. My next one is also a Gina one from the latest season.
Mm-hmm.
It was when she went... I'm not going to hang out with Sally. She can go fuck herself, but I do feel sorry for her because I know she's grieving at the moment.
In the same breath.
I'm not going to hang out with Sally. She can go fuck herself. But I do know. Oh, I thought that
the
was
sympathy
so
at the end
funny.
To kind of soften the blow.
To soften that, to yeah. bring it back in. She's fucking hilarious.
I miss her.
I do too.
Okay, I've got one from Venus.
Okay.
Saying, I could say that just because you've got short hair, you look like a dyke.
Dyke, yeah. Yes.
Oh, oh my God.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Terrible.
My next one is another Janet to Lydia. No, it wasn't Janet to Lydia. It was Janet about Lydia at the table. She goes, it's so out of character. It would be like Lydia saying, I hate food for life and I'm never eating again. And Lydia's just like, how did I get brought into this? Janet fat shaming Lydia the whole way through. Seasons
yeah.
1 to 5.
Yeah.
Fat shame, fat shame.
Yeah, she's...
She's not even fat.
No.
Lydia, I don't think she's fat at all.
Yeah.
Anyway, so funny.
Janet saying to Gina when she storms off, go drown in the pool. Can I just say, any of these insults, if this had happened on Beverly Hills, the whole season would revolve around this.
Literally.
This gets said
These are just side comments. Passing comments.
In dinner. Yep. And then it's done the next day.
Yep. This is the thing I love about Australians yep. the most, though. My next one is Petit Fleur. Gamble, bitch. Simple, effective.
But the way how she started off saying, your skin looks beautiful. Have you had work? No. But I'll tell you who's a piece of work.
Gamble.
Bitch. But even Lydia trying to shade Petit Fleur. But
yes.
Your skin looks beautiful.
Yeah.
Have you had work?
Yeah. Oh, my God. My love.
Oh, my next one, actually, this is probably my last one, is when Gamble had then taken a stab at Janet and said, well, I've heard nasty things about you, like you fuck for heroin.
Oh my God, I forgot about that one.
And even Janet just kind of looks at him like, well, that's ridiculous.
You fuck for heroin.
You fuck for heroin.
That is full on.
Because Janet had said that Gamble has sex parties at her house.
Yep. Hectic. All right, I've got three more. Okay. My next one comes from Jackie. When she goes, the only thing that I've said behind your back, but I've said it to your face, is that I think you're annoying. You're full of shit. And then she goes, but I said that to your face.
Justified.
Just straight up. You're annoying. You're full of shit. But
I think you're annoying. Your face.
And you're full of shit. Love it. And then my last two is Gina. One from season one and one from the last season.
Okay.
Like the final, the last one, the newest one.
Yeah. All right.
Cool. So I get it.
The last one. Yeah. Cool. Just say it.
All right. I'll go with, it's her to Sally again when she goes, who is this woman coming at me with her pointy finger and her camel teeth? Sorry, her fucking camel teeth. That's hectic. And my last one is iconic, and I'm surprised none of these have been on yours, but it is the iconic Gina and Andrea argument, and when Gina is leaving and she goes, when you get home, get your husband to review your medication because clearly the testosterone needs to come down and everything else needs to come up. Fucking moron.
That, and then Andrea was just...
dumbfounded.
Yeah.
Speechless. Oh my God, you rogue vile woman is what Andrea was thinking in her head.
Honestly.
I love it. And I love it. That's it. That's all from me.
Some honourable mentions when Gina called Lydia a cunt in the bathroom.
And she's, I never said that.
Five times.
I never said that. And then it cuts to the cutscene of she's a cunt.
And Gina's like...
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't say she is a cunt. I said, I'm going to call her a cunt.
Just right. That's the lawyer in her.
Yeah, yeah.
She's tiptoeing around that.
You're taking what I'm saying and making it verbatim.
Yeah.
Is what she said. Amazing.
I love
it. Great insults. I actually have a couple rapid fire questions for you because I always like to have a few of those prepared.
Cool.
It's actually related to the latest episode of Beverly Hills.
Okay.
Whose flowers do you like better, Kyle's or Dorit's?
I don't even know which one was which. I know what the flowers look like, Kyle's, but one of them was more roses. Pointy, one was roses.
Kyle's was roses, Dorit's was the pointies.
Dorit's. I hate roses.
I love roses. I'm going to say Kyle. And that's not because...
And that's not because...
That's not because you think I'm on Kyle's side. I just love roses. I think it was a prettier bouquet. I would say Dorit's looks nice too. I wouldn't be mad at receiving any of those.
I've never been a roses gal.
I love roses. Taking your shoes off before going inside someone's house, yes or no?
No.
Yeah, no.
I am a grub at home. Nothing, I'm not a germaphobe whatsoever. Nothing freaks me out. I don't care if you've got dirty shoes or anything. Just don't put them on my fucking couch.
I also think, like, even if it's like a thing of like, oh, the floors are expensive.
Yeah, well, they can be cleaned.
Don't get them.
Yeah. Floors, it's a house. Sorry. You live in it.
They need to be durable. It's a floor.
I do not want any to be restricted in my house at all.
I'm going
to
say shoes if you want to wear them.
Yeah,
no
wear
shoes
them.
If you don't. But yep. I'm not going to make someone take their shoes off.
No way.
And my last one. Who do you want to see back together? Kyle and Mo or Dorit and PK?
Kyle and Mo.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm done with Dorit and PK. I think Kyle and Mo have a lovely family.
Yeah.
And a really nice like life together.
Yeah, I agree. So, thanks so much for... I feel still very frazzled with this
wig on. I can't wait to take the glasses and the wig off.
And I'm scared to
see... The sunshine!
...what this is going to look like. But thanks so much for joining me. I think that's all we're going to really chat about today.
Thanks.
And we'll discuss reunion next week.
Yes, slave.
And we'll discuss Beverly Hills as well.
Yep. Cool. Sounds good.
All right.
Okay. Bye. Uru.